Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Our Savior Lutheran Church, and my name is Pastor Randy Schrader. Just wanted to give you a heads up that today will be our Holy Hilarity Sunday. Many American churches are resurrecting this old Easter custom begun by the early Greek Christians. Sometimes they called it Bright Sunday, other times Holy Humor Sunday, and it celebrates the Sunday, first Sunday after Easter. For centuries, in all Christian faith traditions, the week following Sunday, Easter Sunday, was observed by the faithful as a day of joy and laughter, with parties and picnics to celebrate Jesus's resurrection. So Holy Humor Sunday services not only as to give Christians a way to an opportunity for ongoing celebrations of a great miracle in human history, but Jesus's resurrection as well. It also gives us an opportunity to celebrate and to give thanks for our own smaller resurrections in this world and this life. From a time to time in our earthly lives, many of us who have been dead from illness, from depression, from physical injuries, emotional wounds, the loss of loved ones, financial losses, and yet some have come alive and endured while looking forward to the great resurrection that awaits us. So with that, we will begin our service this morning. The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Judeans, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." But he said to them, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the marks of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it on my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning again. And once we are learning about how we do this on Zoom, one of our computers went down. So that's why you might be hearing a little bit of an echo right now, but also it will help us interact a little bit better. So the kids, during our pint size with a pastor this week, had a couple jokes that they wanted to share with people. So I'm going to first, for protection, put my mask on so that we can now have some of the jokes with the children. And I'm going to ask Abby to go ahead and unmute her screen, or maybe her parents to unmute her screen, so that Abby Henderson can give us a joke for this morning.
When is fishing not healthy for you?
When is fishing not what for me?
Healthy.
Healthy. Healthy. When is fishing not healthy for me? When I'm a fish?
Nope. When you are a worm.
When you're a worm, of course. That is right. Who else has a joke for us? River?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Doc.
Doc who?
Don.
Don who?
Don't leave me out here in the rain.
That's wonderful. Yeah, go ahead.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Mitch. Mitch.
Mitch? I need help because my sound quality isn't that great.
Mitch.
Myth.
Myth?
Yes.
Myth who?
I miss seeing you.
Oh, I miss seeing you too. That was awesome. Yes, go.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Stew?
Stew. Yep.
Stew.
One more time, a little louder.
Can't say louder. Stew.
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 Stew who?
Stew. Stew. Late. Ask any questions.
Stew.
Mikhail, you say it.
It's too late to ask any questions.
Too late to ask any questions. That's hilarious. Anybody else got another joke out there? The kids?
Me.
Is that Harper?
Yeah.
Go, Harper.
Where is the bunny, the Easter bunny favorite place to eat?
Where is the Easter Bunny's favorite place to eat?
IHOP.
Ah. Of course it's the IHOP. Oh, that's wonderful. Who else has one out there? Children.
What hand do you write with?
What hand do you fight with?
Write with.
Write with.
What hand do you write with? My right hand.
That's funny, because I write with a pencil.
Oh, my goodness. Good job. Anybody, any other children out there have a joke? All right. Well, here's a couple for you guys. Where do you take someone injured in a peekaboo accident? To the ICU. Right? Yes. Oh, they only get worse from here, I'm just telling you. Knock, knock. Olive.
Olive who?
Olive you.
Oh, boy.
Yep, right? All right. What kind of man was Boaz before he married? Ruthless. Boaz married Ruth?
Yes.
You got it? Okay.
Okay. Who was the greatest female financier in the Bible? Pharaoh's daughter. She went down to the bank of the Nile and withdrew out a little profit.
Wow.
Right? Did you hear the one about the Pentecostal preacher who married the Amish woman? He drove her buggy.
Yikes.
What do you get when you cross a Jehovah's Witness with an atheist? Someone who knocks on doors for no apparent reason. Why are there no worms in the apples on Noah's Ark? Because they all came in pairs.
I just lost Mike. Pastor Mike is gone.
Oh,
Bob is leaving us as well. So an old man went to the doctor complaining that his wife could barely hear. And the doctor suggests a test to find out how bad the hearing problem was. So he says, stand far behind your wife and ask her a question. And if she doesn't answer, then just move up a little bit closer, ask the question until she first responds. The old man's excited to finally go and figure out what this problem might be. So he goes home and he's standing about 20 feet away from his wife. And he says, honey, what's for dinner? No response. So he gets a little closer, about 15 feet. Honey, what's for dinner? No response. He's still standing behind her, 10 feet away, and says, honey, what is for dinner? No response. He finally gets like within 5 feet of his wife standing behind her and saying, honey, what is for supper? And she says, for the fourth time, lasagna.
Come on, man. Mike, you gotta, yeah. It wasn't her with the hearing problem. Okay, anyway.
All right, so this is a series of how many Christians does it take to change a light bulb? But of course, we're different denominations. So how many Christians does it take to change a light bulb if that Christian is charismatic? One. Hands are already up in the air. Pentecostal, 10. One to change the light bulb and 9 to pray against the spirit of darkness. Presbyterians, none. Lights will go on and off at a predestined time. Catholics, none. Candles only, of guaranteed origin, of course. Baptists, at least 15. One to change the light bulb and 3 committees to approve the change and decide who brings the potato salad and main course. Episcopalians, 3 to change the light bulb. 1 to call the electrician, 1 to mix the drinks, 1 to talk about how much better the old one was. Mormons, it takes 5. 1 man to change the light bulb and 4 wives to tell him how to do it. The Unitarians, we choose not to make a statement either in favor of or against the need for a light bulb. However, if in your own journey you have found that light bulbs work for you, you are invited to write a poem or compose a modern dance about your light bulb for the next Sunday service, in which we will explore a number of light bulb traditions, including incandescent, fluorescent, 3-way, long life, LED, tinted, all of which are equally valid paths to luminescence.
That just is a long way to get there.
Methodists, undetermined. Whether your light is bright, dull, or completely out, you are loved. You can be a light bulb, a turnip bulb, a tulip bulb. Bring a bulb of your choice to the Sunday lighting service and a covered dish to pass. Nazarene takes 6. 1 woman to replace the bulb while 5 men review the church lighting policy. The Amish, what's a light bulb? And Lutherans, how many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb? None. Lutherans don't believe in change. Sorry, it's low-hanging fruit. So two guys are walking through a game park, and they come across a lion that hasn't eaten for days. The lion starts chasing the two men. They run as fast as they can, and the one guy starts getting very tired, so he decides he better pray. Please turn this lion into a Christian, Lord. He looks to see if the lion is still chasing him and sees the lion on his knees. Happy to see his prayer answered, he turns around and heads towards the lion. As he comes closer, the lion is actually praying, and he hears the lion say, "Thank you, Lord, for this food I'm about to receive." Top 10 reasons God created Eve. Guys, just sit back. God worried that Adam would always be lost in the garden because men hate to ask for directions. Number 9, God knew that Adam would one day need someone to hand him the TV remote. Sorry, Missy, I apologize for that one. It's just a joke. God knew that Adam would never buy a new fig leaf when his old one wore out and would therefore need Eve to buy him another one. God knew that Adam would never make a doctor's appointment. So God knew that Adam would never remember what night garbage night was. God knew that if the world was to be populated, men would never be able to handle childbearing. As keeper of the garden, Adam would never remember where he put his tools. The scripture account of creation indicates Adam needed someone to blame his troubles on when God caught him hiding in the garden. And the Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. And finally, the number one reason God created Eve. When God finished the creation of Adam, God stepped back, thought to God's self, and said, "I can do better than that." At a motivational seminar, three men are asked to come up on stage, and they're asked, "When you're in your casket and friends and family are mourning upon you, what would you like to hear from them as they talk about you?" The first guy says, I'd like to hear that they say I was a great doctor and a great family man. The second guy says, "I would like to hear that I was a wonderful husband and a school teacher who made a huge difference in the children of tomorrow." The last guy replies, "I would really like to hear them say, look, he's moving." All right, I'm going to go out on a branch and sell this one. No offense. I love you all. I really do. Okay. So grace abounds, I hope, for everyone. It's the final round of the $64,000 question, and only three remaining contestants are left: a Notre Dame fan, an IU fan, and a Purdue fan. The question is, finish the following song title and spell the answer. Old MacDonald had a blank. The Notre Dame fan goes first and says, "Estate, E-S-T-A-T-E. The announcer says, "Sorry, wrong answer, but right spelling." Meanwhile, the Purdue fan is going nuts. He's so excited he cannot control himself. The IU fan goes next and answers, "Ranch, R-A-N-C-H. The announcer says, "Sorry, wrong answer, but right spelling." And now the Purdue fan is jumping up so excited he cannot contain himself. The announcer turns to the Purdue fan and says, "For the $64,000 question, what is the answer?" And the Purdue fan answers, Farm. E I E I O. When you reuse that, you can definitely switch whatever fan you want at the end. It's just, you know, inclusive that way. A Sunday school teacher of preschoolers was concerned that his student might be a little confused about Jesus Christ because of the Christmas season emphasis on his birth. He wanted to make sure that they understood that the birth of Jesus occurred for real. He asked his class, "Where is Jesus today?" Stephen raises his hand and says, "He's in heaven." And then Mary was called on and she answers, "He's in my heart." Little Johnny is waving his hand in the back row and blurted out, I know, he's in our bathroom." The whole class got very quiet. And the teacher waited for a minute. Finally, he gathered his wits and asked little Johnny, How do you know he's in your bathroom?" Little Johnny said, "Well, every morning my father gets up, bangs on the bathroom door and yells, 'Lord, are you in there?'" I messed that one up bad. I messed it up really bad. Bangs on the bathroom door and yells, "Good Lord, are you still in there?" Darn it, that was one of my favorite ones. All right. There's only two pages left, people. Stay with me. All right, I'll skip that one. In a class of abnormal psychology, the instructor is about to introduce the subject of manic depression. She poses this question to her students. How would you diagnose a patient who walks back and forth screaming at the top of his lungs 1 minute, then sits down weeping uncontrollably the next? A young man in the rear raises his hand and suggests earnestly, "A football coach?"
Oh,
that's just for you, Mike.
That was good.
Oh, a couple was celebrating their golden wedding anniversary. And it was perfect, their whole marriage. Their domestic tranquility had long been the talk of the town. A local newspaper reporter was inquiring as to the secret of their long and happy marriage. "Well, it dates back to our honeymoon," explained the man. "We visited the Grand Canyon and took a trip down to the bottom of the canyon on pack mule. We hadn't gone too far when my wife's mule stumbled. She quietly said, 'That's once.' We proceeded a little farther and the mule stumbled again. Once more, my wife quietly said, 'That's twice.' Hadn't gone a half a mile when the mule stumbled a third time. My wife quietly got off the mule, grabbed her stuff, and left the mule there and proceeded to walk. I started to yell at her for what I thought was one of the stupidest things she could ever do, and she looked at me and quietly said, 'That's once.'" I love that one. One balmy day in the South Pacific, a Navy ship saw smoke coming out of one of three huts on this uncharted island. Upon arriving at the shore, they were met by a shipwreck survivor. He said, "I'm so glad you're here. I've been alone on this island for more than 10 years. The captain replied, "If you're all alone on this island, why do we see three huts?" The survivor said, "Well, I live in one and I go to church in the other." He goes, "Well, what about the third hut?" the captain asked. He responded, "Well, that's where I used to go to church." During a pastor's weekly children's sermon, he asked the kids, "Why is it so important to keep quiet in church?" And one of the kids answered, "Because people are sleeping." There was this lady who had visited a church on Sunday. The sermon seemed to go on forever, and many of the congregations fell asleep. after the service to be social, she walked up to a very sleepy-looking attendant, extended her hand in greetings, and said, "Hello, I'm glad it's done." And the gentleman replied, "You're not the only one, ma'am. I'm glad it's done, too." Ooh. Her name was Gladys.
Yeah,
Dunn.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
You got it?
Yeah,
okay. All right.
Oh, God, that's
cool. Mike's over here praying already. Okay, so last one. Here we go. I promise. Last one. One day, two nuns were inside the church painting when the air conditioner went out. It was one of the hottest days of the year, and soon the heat was more than they could stand. They had to be finished that day. So one of the nuns suggested taking off their heavy garments since they were the only ones there. The other nun said, "I don't know. I don't have anything under mine." "I don't either," replied the first nun. "But who's going to see us?" They got undressed and began painting again. They were much more comfortable and doing quite well when suddenly there was a knock at the door and they froze. "Who is it?" they asked. "It's the blind man from down the street," a man answered from behind the door. They talked it over and, seeing no harm since the man was blind, opened the door. A man walked in with his arms full of boxes. He took one look at the nuns and, with a puzzled look on his face, "Where do you want me to put these blinds?"
I'm glad an alarm just went off.
I think it was my wife telling me to stop.